your skin has thinned.
It has over the years. Yeah, one year did it.
Yeah,
the one year
Floridian.
Did it.
Anyway, right, it's great to be here. And Paul, hi.
Hello.
And Marshall, you too.
Let's talk about sporting a cause first, and then we'll go into the events of Salisbury Winter Sports.
Okay. Well, I think it's about 2 years now I've been doing this. It's a website. I started it with the idea of promoting sports-related fundraisers as a way of shedding light on fun events and also maybe most importantly, the charities that are the beneficiaries of those events. They never get enough attention, especially the small ones. The large ones, like the national ones, like Alzheimer's or breast cancer or Parkinson's, and large corporations almost, you could almost say, nonprofits get plenty of exposure and they have advertising dollars. But the little ones around here, the small town, small charities can use all the promotion they can get. Like SWASA, where I'm involved, we have no advertising budget to speak of. So we rely on public service announcements, the likes of Robin Hood Radio and the Lakeville Journal, the Waterbury Republican, and word of mouth, Facebook, and so forth. So my website was started to do my little part as best I could to promote sporting events. My original concept was to include all fundraisers in our area, but it quickly became evident that there are just way, way too many. There are thousands and thousands of events going on in our area, spaghetti dinners and wine tastings and house tours and all that sort of thing. And a calendar would have been impossible. You'd have a Saturday in June with 350 events going on and nobody would use it. It's just too unwieldy. So I decided to focus on sports-related events because it was something I knew a little bit about. And my area is tri-state, pretty much like the same reach here at the radio station. And I have I'm not sure exactly, 425 events now in the tri-state area and growing. I've only scratched the surface. And I do a blog. I aim for a weekly one, but I don't always make it, to try to focus more on the nonprofit angle of things. It's successful. I'm getting a lot of people going to the site, and not making any money on it yet, but that will come. And it was always secondary anyway. The idea was to get it up and going and let people know about what's going on in the nonprofit world from the sports angle.
And you've learned quite a bit of some new things about some of the sports that you've covered that you had no idea that these events took place, correct?
Yeah. I'm still trying to break into the school market, so to speak. High schools, especially this time of year, they're always doing these fundraiser games. A varsity versus alumni basketball game, for example. Almost every high school does one. They're raising money either for their own programs. I speak often about the plight of high school sports. Every school has budgetary issues, constraints, and budgets are cut, and usually sports are the first things to take the hit. And so oftentimes sports programs hold an event to raise money for the things they need, new uniforms or equipment or whatever. And oftentimes, upcoming in the next couple of weeks down at Housatonic, the boys basketball, the girls basketball teams, and the hockey team, one of their games where they charge an admission, they charge a token amount to get in. If you bring a non-perishable food item to the game, you get in for free. So three events where they're raising money for the needy in the community. Things like that are going on all the time, and I'm just now starting to find out more and more about those things, because those, as much as a large event like Jump Fest, I love to cover the tiny events, the small events, the grade schools. I wrote a blog once about the North Canaan Elementary School. The eighth grade class hosted a softball game against the faculty, and they're raising money for American Cancer Society. They're charging $2 a person to come in and watch. It was so cute. They're selling burgers and dogs for $2 each, and I suspect they gauge the amount to reflect children's wallets, but they raised $350, and I thought that was huge. Here are these young kids thinking of others besides themselves, put together this fun event, and Those are the kinds of events that I love to shed light on.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, and you saw some of the cancer walks and runs and stuff you did when you first got this up and running. You were quite impressed with some of those also.
Yeah, I continue to be. I'll bet probably 20% of the events that I have on my site are walks or walkathons, you know, Relays for Life. And there's most of the disease-oriented nonprofits have a walkathon or a walk format. Basically, there's no entry fee to get into one like a running race, but each person who comes is asked to fundraise beforehand, solicit your neighbors and friends and coworkers and so forth for the cause, and you bring those donations to the walk, and they're typically a 1 to 3 mile walk in a very nice place, the walkway over the Hudson and Poughkeepsie, the White Memorial Conservation Center in Litchfield. And they're regional. About the same time, there's one in Litchfield for Alzheimer's. There's 400 throughout the country, but they raise massive amounts of money. The one in Litchfield, which I'm guessing is probably one of the smaller ones in the country because it's in a rural area, they raise $100,000 for Alzheimer's research. 400 people showed up, and I blogged about it, and I said, if you ever think you're alone in your fight against Alzheimer's, either whether you're a sufferer or you're a caregiver, you know, look at this video, and it shows all 400 people walking, and it touches everybody. Everybody knows somebody who has either been affected by Alzheimer's or breast cancer or Parkinson's. Those diseases are so pervasive that we're all in this together in a large sense.
Do you ever think about becoming a lawyer?
Why would you want to?
No, well, exactly.
He has a pretty big
yes.
vocabulary.
My lawyer just spoke for me. Why would
he
I want
a
to?
Pretty, he has a pretty big vocabulary list like you.
Oh, do you?
But
really?
He expresses his a lot better than you do.
Over the years, you try to project this persona of this down-home, rednecky guy. I don't know big words. Baloney.
I can't say them. I don't know what they mean. But when you two come in here, I'm just amazed.
I'm just laconic.
You're what?
Laconic.
Yeah. Like I know what that means. What's it mean?
Taciturn.
There you go.
That's the former mayor of Millerton.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, Marty Laconic.
Now well, I feel home at home here again.
You do?
Yeah. We're back.
We're back to normal.
Yes, we are.
So, if you want to go on your site, what's the website?
It's sportingacause.com. I say it slowly because on lots of times it sounds like I'm saying supporting a cause, but it's sporting sportingacause.com. And when you go to the home page, you'll see recent blogs, you'll see upcoming events. You can go to the calendars to find out events in particular categories like golf tournaments or running, walking, biking events. And then other things like ski jumping and polar plunges and all those things are kind of like the everything else events, of which there are many. Bunko tournaments I put in there. I stretch the definition of sport sometimes. But the event has to be raising money for a cause. Bunko, it's a dice game, I guess. I've never played it. I should. It's not a sport, but it is kind of a competition, I suppose. And I have a softness in my heart for that category because oftentimes they're raising money for fire companies or ambulance services. So I put it in there. I'd rather be inclusive than exclusive.
Well, you're kind of like... You're kind of like me. You make the rules as you go. So in seeing how you're in charge of it, you can make the rules.
Yeah, and sometimes I forget that I'm kind of the boss here. Like, for example, I've had this conversation with Marshall. One of the things that's upcoming is the chicken pot pie dinner at the White Hart. Well, that's not a sporting event, but it's raising money for one. They're doing this for SWAS's benefit. So it's still a sports-related fundraiser, but... kind of in reverse, you know.
Right.
I was agonizing over this. I thought, well, wait a minute, you know, I'm the boss here. I can decide what I put in and what I don't. And again, I'd rather be inclusive than exclusive. And, you know, a spaghetti dinner that's raising money for something that's not sports related, no, I can't. I'd have thousands and thousands of entries if I did that. So I try to be kind of narrow in my focus, and there's still plenty of things on there. And I suspect there'll probably be up to 500, 600 events in the next year, just in this sports category.
So, Marshall, I got a text message from somebody saying that the sound is out on Facebook. How we fix
it? That's why I'm here getting batteries to replace.
Oh, he's getting batteries.
Wow.
See? So, Paul, just here's a quick question for you, all right?
What is it?
Do you think that Willie might be a little bit partial to Swasa with his sporting a cause, or do you think he's objective in everything he puts on?
Well, he's understandably
partial.
Yeah, I mean, he's heavily involved in it. I mean, he's not as heavily involved in the others.
And I think I not every time, but I try to let everybody know that I'm a director of Swasa. So, I do give extra air. Mm-hmm. But, of course, it's the time of year, too. There are times of the year when Swasa isn't doing a whole
lot.
Listen,
you don't have to defend yourself. Really.
Yes,
I do. I'm only teasing you.
Paul, really? I don't have to defend myself in this
You want
this
me to
room?
Defend you?
No.
I'm trying to defend you.
I know you're the lawyer.
No, you don't do that kind of. You don't do that kind of work.
Well, I don't think
you'd be good at defending.
I don't do it for free.
Paul, for the defense.
I don't do it for free. All right, so... The last time I was up, I think it was in September when you had Swasa had their annual golf tournament.
Yes.
We did the pig roast and everything, and I didn't get a chance to see anybody afterwards, but I think the little bit of pork I took home, Randy did an outstanding job with the pork, and it looked like you had a full flight of players.
We did.
And it looked like it went pretty well.
It did. It's a small tournament by design. We hold it over at the Intermountain Golf Course, a beautiful Intermountain Golf Course. It's a nine-hole course, and we limit it to pretty much 50 players. Beyond that, and it gets unwieldy, and it takes forever. But that's a good number. Everybody always has a good time. We had good weather, if you'll remember.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Which is key. You know, those guys will show up in the rain if it is, but... It just makes for a miserable experience. So a nice sunny day in September, a nice fall day in our neck of the woods, playing golf, and it doesn't get better than that. Anyway, it was very successful. Then that was followed shortly by the Brewski Fest, and that too was successful. We had 50 breweries there.
Wow.
That's the State Line Wine and Spirits organizes that whole event. People think it's our event. It really isn't. We hold it over at the jump site, which is very cool in the autumn time. But it's a State Line that does it for us. They're the ones that can twist the arms and get the breweries there. They do it for Swasa's benefit, and that was successful too. And yesterday we had the Swasa Ski and Skate Sale, which was yet another successful event. There are certain elements that make for a successful or not so successful event, especially this one. One of the things that we had going for us was that there was snow on the ground, and that makes a huge difference. If people looked out the windows yesterday morning and it was brown, they might not be quite as motivated to come over. But a wintry scene, nice weather, and the fact that we had a good winter last year, weather-wise, people got to use their equipment, and they were looking to upgrade it, replace it, or whatever. So that kind of perfect storm of variables led to a huge crowd. We had 50, 60 people waiting in line for the door to open at 8. People came in, and the numbers grew, and there was a point where we had a line 150 feet long of people waiting to check out, keeping three registers busy. And of all the things we do and the things that are fundraisers on our behalf, this is one of my favorites because, yes, it's a fundraiser, but it's such a nice service for the people in our area because, let's face it, winter sports can be expensive. Whether you're a downhill skier, cross-country skier, you're a hockey player, the equipment ain't cheap. And this is a place where people can either sell their equipment that their children have outgrown, especially boots and skates and so forth, their feet grow. They can get a few dollars for their old equipment. They can buy something inexpensively used, gently used, that somebody else has turned in. Or that we had a whole bunch of new equipment, and that too was very reasonably priced. So, I was manning one of the registers and used skates for $5. That would have cost $120 new. Ski boots for $15. Skis with bindings, downhill skis with bindings for $50. You know, $800 worth of new people are buying for $50-$75. At the sale. So the fact that so many people can outfit themselves and their families reasonably makes it one of my favorite events that SWASA does.
Yeah, and just before Christmas, too.
A lot of Christmas shopping gets done there, too, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's a win-win for everybody, really.
Yeah, yep. And when people sell their stuff, say someone comes in with a pair of used skates and they put a $20 price on it and they sell it, they get that $20. SWASA didn't take a cut of that. We make people donate equipment that we sell, and the man who comes, John Strauss, who comes with the new equipment, he pays us a percentage of that. But people who are selling their stuff, we give them all their money. We're not taking a cut of that.
Yeah, but some people donate their equipment to you so that you...
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, if somebody donated that $20 pair of skis or skates to you to sell...
Yeah.
Then SWASA would be the beneficiary of that. So that's also a good way to do it, too.
Yeah. And sometimes people have, they'll bring in, more often than not, they don't bring in just one item. Sometimes it's a dozen items, skis, poles, skates, boots, and
gloves.
So forth. And if they'll sell four or five of the items, and they say, you know what, I don't want to take the rest home. It's yours. So we pack it away and sell it the following year. So that's a big part of where our money comes from.
So who manned the registers?
Well, it's funny you should ask. Kenneth S. Barker was a mainstay. I was kind of flitting around helping one register the other. Reggie Lampson Jr. was on one. Lisa Shipley, another one of the SWASA directors. John Higgins and Kathy Trahan were in charge of paying out people when people came in at the end of the day to get their money or their equipment. They were in charge of that. And we had several directors who, a couple of our directors are ski instructors, so they know ski equipment, and they're helping people fit boots. And I think we had maybe 12 directors there along with other volunteers.
Wow.
It's a good turnout. There's 17 directors. And, we're
in 12 out of 17?
Yeah.
So do
yeah.
you think... Can I make a recommendation for next year
that
the checkout line isn't so long?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, there's got to be snow to push around on the hill because I saw they were making snow this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Kenneth S. Barker should stay in his little Zamboni machine or whatever it's called and push the snow around instead of trying to – because he's getting older now, and I know he probably had gloves on in the firehouse. It's hard to push those buttons on the cash register. That's probably why the line was back. I would get him off that project.
That may have contributed. Technically speaking, though, if you saw the picture of the gun going and the snow all around, most of that snow was natural because right now we're in just piling mode. When we're making snow, we just make it into a mountain. And we'll keep it that way until we absolutely have to push it around, like for the kids' practice. We can keep more of it when we make it into a pile. So right now we're just going to stack it up at ski hills where they make snow. Of course, they're spreading it around all the time because they have to cover the slopes. And we will too at some point, but we can push it around with our machine.
Sit in the machine and watch his snow.
There's that. Sure.
I mean, he could do that.
I'll make that recommendation to him. I kind of know what the answer will be.
I'm sure he's listening anyway. I'll probably get some stupid message.
I just think he clicked it off.
he's just garnering his resentment. He's listening to every word. You can be sure of that.
Well, anyway, so that was a good event for him. That typically is a pretty big fundraiser for you guys, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is your sale cash only?
What's that?
Is your sale cash only?
No, we've actually joined the 21st century. We accept credit cards now. With the miracle of smartphones and everything, we can and that becomes that's become important. I mean, people just don't carry cash around, whether it's Jump Fest or the Brewski Fest, and where people are spending larger amounts of money, like our event yesterday. Yeah, we have to. Yeah. And
do you take Zelle?
Do I take what?
Zelle.
Zelle.
That's a app on your phone where you can just press a button and it goes to the some account.
No. At least I don't. I don't think we're just using.
Why would you go over and buy a pair of skis if they took Zelle? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just wondering. He said he was in the 21st century now. That's the one of the in things.
The beginning of the 21st century.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you want me to talk about some of the other
upcoming events? That's why you came. You drove all the way down here from Canaan. You couldn't tell us anything going on in Canaan, but you can tell us what's going on in Salisbury.
Yeah, what's going on in Canaan?
I can't, not much.
Oh.
No, there are plenty of things going on in Canaan. Yeah, Canaan's a bustling town. You know, the Great Falls Brewery is now in the station in Canaan, and that's a big draw
really?
For the area.
Yeah.
Yeah, these microbreweries are
they're
springing
up.
Yeah, there's one in Winsted now. But
they also bring in food trucks there. And people go to Canaan just for the food trucks. They really do.
They do. I know they do. I see it on Facebook.
Food trucks are big all over the country right now. They're big in Florida, too, of course. We have the weather for it. But.
Yeah, and some of the specialties kind of surprise me. Like they have a cannoli truck.
Yeah,
and I guess the more I think about it, the more it makes sense. But people flock to that. I think they have a mac and cheese truck that comes. And anyway, it's been a big draw. And the chamber over there is active. I know the little Christmas trees that they put in Salisbury that's now spread to downtown Canaan.
Canaan,
so,
yeah,
it's all good. You know, it's an evolution after all. Anyway, Canaan, Canaan's doing just fine. Anyway, today is the last day of the four-day bond spiel up at the Norfolk Curling Club, and that's going on as we speak, and it'll be going on for a while. This is one of three or four that they do every year, but it's a big deal. They get 20 teams from around the area, and let's face it, curling facilities are pretty few and far between. There's only one other one in Connecticut down in Bridgeport and a couple in Massachusetts. So 20 teams are drawing from all over the place. They come for 4 days. And, talk about having an economic event on an area. You know, you have all these people. I think there are like five people on a team, and they come with their families oftentimes. They got to stay places that are eating out over a four-day period. So when a bond spiel is coming to Norfolk, it makes a difference for our area. And the same could be said for some of these other sporting events. And by the way, the fundraiser is made by the participants in the bond spiel. They pay a certain amount to get in. So it's free to go and watch. If you're not doing anything this morning or early this afternoon, I suggest you go to the Norfolk Curling Club in Norfolk. Their building is new. They rebuilt after the fire they had a few years ago, and it's a beautiful facility, big stone fireplace, a great viewing area. There's glass everywhere so you can watch the action. They have a lounge there so you can have something to eat, buy a cocktail, and watch the action.
Yeah,
and there's
wild.
Always people. I mean, curlers are great promoters of their sport because it's basically such a misunderstood sport. So if you're sitting there watching and say, what the heck are they doing here? There's 10 people who would be glad to tell you, explain it all to you. It's quite a fraternity that they have there, and sorority. I mean, there's men and women both who belong there, and it's a great time. And there'll be a couple other more bond spiels before the season's over, and I'll talk about them.
Yeah, go see that if you've never seen it. Cupcake and I went to that 1 year, Marshall. I'll tell you what, I never was so impressed in my entire life.
Really? Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I was in the old building, but I was able to sit there and have some ice cream and watch, like you said, it's all glass.
Yeah.
And you can look over the whole area where they do this game. It's wild.
Well, you'd never leave the new one, Dave. If you were at the old one and enjoyed it, you'd take up residence because...
I don't remember they had a fireplace in the old one. I don't remember.
I don't know if that was new or it survived the fire. I don't know, but
it's a
massive one. Yeah, and it's great fun. also today, you'd have to hustle to get there. There's the first polar plunge of the season is going on today down at the Washington Montessori School. Well, the event is actually at Lake Wurmog. It's a $20 per person event. You can fundraise also, and the proceeds go to the Montessori School Scholarship Program. They take a couple kids from schools in Waterbury and bring them up, and they can enroll in the Montessori School. So that's this morning, and that we'll be talking about that more and more as we go through the winter and into the early spring. Now, this Thursday, An Evening for Swasa. This is at the White Hart Inn. This is the fifth year that the White Hart has sponsored a chicken pot pie dinner. Dave, you've been to them in the past.
I'm telling you what, folks. Get a ticket to that pot pie dinner. I was never more impressed in my entire life going there and having that. I think it was turkey pot pie. I think we had.
It was, well, maybe they made turkey for you. I don't know, but it was chicken for everybody else.
Or chicken. Well, yeah. I know it was turkey or chicken, but oh, is it ever good?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, it was delicious.
And they hold it in the Hunt Room, which is the more intimate dining room in the White Hart. And by design, it has a 50 person capacity, so reservations are required. And I encourage you to do it. Somebody told me yesterday they're about half full. So there'll be a rush. There always is. People wait. They'll see how the weather is looking and that sort of thing. So there'll be a rush to fill the reservations, and they will. They turn people away every year. But if you haven't gotten in the Christmas spirit by Thursday, this might just do it. They put on a great chicken pot pie dinner. It's comfort food. It was a brilliant choice to have. They decorate the place, not only the Hunt Room, but around the White Hart. And the Housatonics come and serenade us with Christmas carols, and we join in, and it's just a wonderful time. If you weren't in the Christmas spirit beforehand, you'll leave in it, trust me.
Who supplies the pot pies?
The White Hart.
The
White Hart cooks them, yeah. And
they're prepared fresh. Everything.
Oh, yeah, everything's fresh. They always have an incredible dessert, and they provide a beverage. Alcohol is extra, of course, if you want that. And it's $30 a ticket, but the White Hart donates that $30 per person to SWASA. They don't take out the cost or anything, the net proceeds, so to speak. They give it to us all. So they're great supporters of SWASA, and we really appreciate it.
And that's why you stop and support them on your way back from
You better believe it.
The Black Rabbit because they're another supporter of SWASA.
Yep, yep.
And so as a director, Paul.
The director.
He's a SWASA director, one of the 17. You need to stop and thank the people that support you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. thank you, Dave. I feel more like a philanthropist now, just going
therefore,
in for a beer.
therefore, you come in a little bit fuzzy on Sunday morning.
Okay. Did he say he was a stamp collector?
No, he's not a stamp
collector. No, not a philatelist. This is a philanthropist.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure.
Right, Dave?
Yeah. Yeah. Not one of those.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
He's a
moving on.
I'm a philologist.
Yeah, you're something. You're two something.
I've heard that. 2 days after the pot pie dinner.
Good thing you two know what you're talking about, because I have no clue.
We're having a fun time.
Yeah, here. It seems that way.
Yeah.
I'm just faking it, Dave. Trust me. This coming Saturday, the 14th. Starts another astonishing event. It's called The Wonders of Winter. It's an art show. It's sponsored by the Salisbury Association, specifically Sarah Morrison. This woman, I think she's on the board of the Salisbury Association, but she's also a great friend of SWASA. She works tirelessly on all kinds of things. But she and they have mounted this art show that centers at the Academy Building in Salisbury, but will have four other locations. They've gathered 34 artists, some of them well-known, some of them not, for a winter-themed art show. These are all paintings. It's not a mixed media. They're all paintings. But 34 artists that are presenting 60 works of art that will be located in five different locations in Salisbury, all within walking distance, so you can do a walking tour. And I can't imagine the logistics of putting this all together, getting all these people involved and the location and this and that. But it doesn't really have an opening reception like art shows sometimes have. They're just opening the doors at 4 p.m. Saturday at the Academy Building. Each of the five places will have refreshments on this opening day. And you can just wander around, and the Academy Building right next to the post office is one location. You can go around and back down towards Le Bon's, and Johnny Cake Bookstore is another location. Come back, cross the street, and go to Neo's restaurant. That their works of art in there, and come out and go next door to the Sotheby's real estate office for more. Then come out and go over one more storefront to Sweet Williams. And then walk down to the White Hart, and there you have the whole show. But some of them are astonishing by some well-known artists like Alan Blagden and Eric Forsman are two names. The late Arthur Goetz from The New Yorker is the contribution was made from his works.
And, now, can you buy these paintings?
About 75% of them are for sale. They'll be starting at in the 300s and going up into the thousands. They're that quality, and Suasa will be getting some of the proceeds from that. I think and of course, we appreciate the proceeds for our organization. But I think it's also meant to just highlight the wintertime in Salisbury and the winter sports and the tradition of sports and ski jumping in our area. And I think people will be coming from far and wide to view this. And although it starts Saturday, it actually runs all the way through to the last day of Jump Fest. So people can come starting Saturday, anytime
in between.
And or if they come to the ski jumps, they can go then, spend some time in town.
I wish somebody would paint a picture of your ticket sales trailer with you inside with a brook that runs alongside. That would be a cool picture, to be honest.
That would be a cool picture. People stop.
Because this, folks, you walk down this beautiful candlelit dirt road to go to the ski jumps, and you come to this ratty old 1940. Mm-hmm. Mobile home.
Like a pop-up trailer.
Something that you towed back in the 50s. Mm-hmm. You towed it with your car. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the first tow-behind campers in the world, and it sits right in the middle of great big tall pines, mm-hmm. and sometimes they're snow-covered, and there's a brook that never freezes.
Really?
And it's really cool because you hear the sound of the brook and everything. That would really be a great picture.
People take photographs of it all the time. And we're always kidding each other about how nasty it looks. And, does it look nasty? The roof rotted off it, so we put a tin roof on it. And every improvement we make makes it look nastier still. But it endures. I mean, it's going to be a sad day when it just collapses and we have to replace it with something else.
It is warm inside, though.
It's warm inside. I know Dave has let everybody know.
Yeah, it's warm inside, Paul.
Well, Dave is down south now, so why don't you look for a ratty trailer down there that might go for sale?
I'll bet you there's a ratty trailer or two down where
they don't have ratty trailers in Florida. I disagree with you guys there.
We're not looking for a double wide. We're just looking for...
Listen, they even have ones that had the slide outs on two or three sides of it. You'd be styling if you got something like that.
Okay, so then we'll send Paul to Georgia and South Carolina.
You want to go. Probably Virginia, where his cousins are. They have West trailers like
West
that.
Virginia. I went to a place. I went through a town in South Carolina. I was shocked. Boy.
All right, so I didn't mean to go off on a tangent.
Oh, that's okay. That's what we're here for.
Willie, I'm sorry.
No. That's it. That's all. That's pretty much it for the next week. Things are slowing down. In September, I think the last time we were on the show here, I had 40 events going on for a week. September is the busiest month for golf, running, just about everything. And it slows down this time of year, but that's okay. There's always stuff to talk about. The week after next, there are a couple of those Housatonic fundraiser events that I talked about earlier, the boys and girls basketball games on the 19th and 20th. In lieu of paying an entry fee to the game, you can bring a non-perishable food item that will get you in free, and the food will be distributed among the local food pantries. And then the hockey team, the Hoosie hockey team, will be doing the same thing on the 28th.